afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us today right after the market report from Apothecary Herbs. But let's go ahead and get to the market reports first. A little bit of pressure on gold, mainly also in the last, pretty much the last hour of trade. It was trading down a couple bucks all day long, and the last hour they came in and whacked it, as they usually do, down 10 bucks, $1,324. Silver was down 29 cents at $16.53. Buying opportunities, ladies and gentlemen. Platinum was down 17 at 956, and palladium was down 16 at 917. Both of those white metals, basically all three metals, also, I think, put pressure on gold. And let's take a peek. Yeah, the dollar was only up 0.04, so no reason for gold to react in the manner in which it did. 89.59 for the dollar in the index. Crude oil was down 1.36 at 61.24. Paper markets woke up real early this morning. I can't help it. It's just habit. I've been doing it for how many years? You know, I find the clicker to find, go to Bloomberg to find out what the overnight markets are doing. This was about 2:30. Dow was down over 300 points, the futures, and it was that way until, you know, about 6:30, and then they started to recover somewhat, and we have the Dow down 82 points today, 24,801. The NASDAQ managed to be positive today, up 24, 7,396, and the S&P was basically flat at 2,726. 10-year yield 0.01 to the upside, 2.88, and Hong Kong was down a little over 1%, but Germany was up a little over 1%. And I guess no one has any more fear, as the fear is moving up out of those single digits up to 26. So there is no fear in this world. There used to be a little cartoon. Wasn't it Underdog?
Have Indeed no fear. It was.
Have no fear. Underdog is
Melody
here.
Melody is here.
But anyway, it's going to be one of those days, ladies and gentlemen. So bear with us. We appreciate you joining us. And again, I appreciate Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about what's going on in the market that they treat erectile dysfunction with. The drugs, you've seen them, the blue pill, the Viagras, the Cialis. Actually, medical science expects men to have this erectile dysfunction at some time in their life, usually around age 50. And there are some new developments, though, on the drugs that they prescribe to resolve the dysfunction, and listeners need to know this. So 1 in 10 men globally experience erectile dysfunction, we're told. That's like 30 million men in the United States are suffering from it. Diabetic men have a 50% chance of developing it within 10 years of their diabetic diagnosis. Now, if men smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, they have an increased risk of experiencing ED by about 50%. And so men over 40, a 39% risk, and then men over 65, a 65% risk of experiencing this dysfunction. So there are three levels of erectile dysfunction. They're mild, the moderate, and severe, depending on the incidence, the occurrence rate. And some of the symptoms, well, it isn't always just a physical obstruction that causes erectile dysfunction. Sometimes it can be more emotional. It can be driven by anxiety and tension, self-esteem issues, lack of confidence, and even relationship difficulties can factor in. Now, often men are taking a lot of cardiovascular meds, and they also experience ED, and we're going to get to the list of medications that can produce this symptom for you. Now, in 1997, Newsweek ran an article on erectile dysfunction. They said this: each new drug with its attenuated publicity brings more men into the game, and some urologists expect the number of men seeking treatment to double in the coming years. So what this statement indicates is that the medical community is aware that the more drugs that men are using can contribute to the erectile dysfunction problem, as you see a lot of, you know, advertising campaigns on TV now asking you to come in and ask your doctor about certain things. Well, there also is a list of conditions which they say cause erectile dysfunction. Vascular disease like diabetes and hypertension and smoking, we covered that. Also surgery, if you have prostate or cancer, colon cancer surgery can lead to that, as well as any nerve damage of the spinal cord or a condition like multiple sclerosis or even having a stroke. They also list endocrine imbalance, which would be your hormone imbalance, low testosterone, emotional disorders, which we mentioned, as well as drugs, blood pressure meds, sedatives, narcotics, antidepressants can contribute to the problem, as well as excessive alcohol. So you might want to ask me what kind of drugs really you want to stay away from. Go ahead, Melody, ask me.
Which ones?
Well, okay, so there's a list of medications. Your physician's desk reference will also confirm this for you. So whenever you're given a prescription, you might want to check it out. Diuretics can produce erectile dysfunction. Any anti-hypertensive medications, as well as antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, epileptic drugs, antihistamines, who knew, right? Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, Parkinson's disease medications, anti-arrhythmia drugs for AFib or arrhythmias, you know, flutters, heart flutters, histamine 2H2 receptor antagonists, which would be your Tagamet and your Zantac, as well as your prostate cancer drugs and chemotherapy drugs. So they all have a side effect of erectile dysfunction for the men. And any medication that also has an added ingredient that's an amphetamine, a barbiturate, if it includes marijuana, a methadone ingredient, nicotine, opiates, or cocaine, you can always increase your risk of having erectile dysfunction. Did you know that, Dave?
Oh, I've heard about that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about more drugs. A lot of PED5 inhibitors are marketed. This would be your Viagra, your Levitra, your Cialis. These are all your erectile dysfunction medications. And the biggest seller is your Viagra. They it's made by Pfizer. It's been around since 1998. Also, Levitra is made by Bayer GlaxoSmithKline, and Cialis is made by Eli Lilly, which those have been on the market since 2003. Now, some of the common side effects from taking these meds would be headaches, a little facial blushing, congestion, indigestion, visual disturbances, back pain, and muscle aches. So most guys say, I can handle that, no big deal. But here's the big bomb. There's been a study. It was released in 2014, but it was kind of hush-hush. And it's a study on erectile dysfunction drugs like Cialis, for instance. They followed some patients. They had a test group that didn't take the drugs and a group that did. And what they found, it was published in the journal of the JAMA, American Medical Association, saying that there's some sort of link between taking these ED drugs and getting lymphoma. Harvard did a study from 1986 to 2000 and found that men who are taking erectile dysfunction medicines have a 43% increased risk of skin cancer compared to those who didn't use the drug. Also, scientists, you know, they don't want to actually say there's a direct cause, that the drug is causing lymphoma, but an 84% risk increase of getting this dangerous form of skin cancer was also published in the Journal of Cell. So we've got several studies now, some of them 10 years apart, saying the same thing. But, you know, if 14 men out of 1,000 get skin cancer from using the drug, people are saying, well, the risk isn't high enough to yank the drug off the market. So I'm saying, you know, how high do we have to go? 95% of the patients?
And those are the ones that are diagnosed properly. How many of the other ones are not, you know, diagnosed to the direct link to the medications?
Yeah, so overall, they're kind of, you know, being conservative, 1.5%, they say will probably get skin cancer taking the drug. So you kind of roll the dice, you know, is intimacy worth that, you know? Now, this is really
just stay out of the sun when you're doing it.
Well, I mean, Yeah, I know. Well, even the sunscreen really doesn't protect you from, you know, because you stay in the sun longer when you have that stuff on.
Yeah.
But an example of, you know, medicine not being upfront with you with all the information, because there's some lawsuits we're going to get into in just a second where the drug companies knew lymphoma was a risk factor.
I'm sorry. I think you mean melanoma, not lymphoma.
I'm sorry. Yes, melanoma.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Sorry. No. Just
thank you. Appreciate
just
the
for
correction.
Listeners out there.
Yes. Well, now here's an example. Allergy shots are the same kind of thing where, you know, usually patients aren't made aware of all the risks. So if you go to a dermatologist and you pull some literature in the waiting room, it would say allergy shots could they vaguely suggest that, you know, they could cause a reaction, but they don't really elaborate on what kind of reaction. So if you ask the doctor, you know, what kind of reaction are we talking about with getting allergy shots, which are really vaccines, they'll tell you, anaphylactic shock, pulmonary arrest, and cardiac arrest is what they're worried about. That's why they make you stay at the office about a half hour before you leave after you get your treatment. So it's really not explained in the literature because it would scare patients away from getting the treatment. Okay. Now, the JAMA study showed us exactly how Viagra, Cialis, and these ED drugs are working, how they mess with the cells of the body that put you at risk of the skin cancer. The cell-to-cell signal pathways are altered or blocked when you use the drug. And this also is what happens when skin cancer metastasizes and spreads. So what the drugs attempt to do is block this chemical protein that makes the penis go down after intercourse and remains, you know, in an erectile, position. And so what this does is it, you know, it gives the cancer a foothold is what it's revealing. The findings, you know, you're just going to have to decide, you know, patients are just going to have to decide, is this just a coincidence or is this, you know, an actual causal link between using the drugs and increasing the risk of cancer? Let me give you this, these statistics. 76,000 Americans were diagnosed with melanoma last year. Over 50% of them were men. That's like,
wow.
Yeah, and 13% died, so that's 10,000 people that died from it last year. Now, those of the listeners that are on the newsletter list that we send out by email, in the next issue, you'll see this chart, which was from the Wiley Library U.S. Cancer Report on incidence and mortality rates of cancer prior to 1998. Now, remember, your Viagra, your ED drugs started coming out in 1998. And what the chart shows is melanoma, the skin cancer, was on its way out. It was a negative 0.4. And then when these drugs came out, it went up again. So I don't know. You want to decide if that's a coincidence or not. But skin cancer was, you know, on the decline prior to these drugs coming out.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Well, the FDA has put the drug on its watch list, right? Also, these drugs cost about $50 a pill, typically. So that means, you know, usually people that are well off are able to purchase the medication. And people that are well off usually spend more time in the sun. They have that luxury of time. So there you go, right? Also, let's get to these lawsuits real quick because the lawsuits are kind of mounting against the manufacturers of these erectile dysfunction drugs. Eli Lilly makes Cialis, Pfizer makes Viagra, and many, many people are jumping on the lawsuit bandwagon because they've been diagnosed with melanoma. And lawyers, like I said, uncovered that study published by the journal Cell that Cialis and Viagra cause an increase in tumor growth and a deadly form of skin cancer. So they're bringing that before the court. There's like 100 cases right now in the courts. There's even TV ads running saying, if you have been harmed by this medication, contact the attorneys, you know, and they list them there on the screen. So here is a quote from Recall Report. They published this in 2016. They say, drug makers like Eli Lilly have a responsibility to communicate all risks to the consumers. If they fail to do so in the case of melanoma, they will end up paying out big settlements. End of quote. But let me tell you this, Pfizer, made $1.93 billion just selling Viagra in 2008 alone.
Hmm. So that's why they call it the Pfizer Riser.
Well, and so by the time that, you know, by the time they pay out these settlements, they're still going to have profits on these drugs. So they don't worry about it too much. They look at it, you know, as a cost of doing business.
Yeah, but you know, too, granted, you know, the warnings really need to be there. But how many men are really going to pay attention to the warnings?
Well, I mean, that's why I said the side effects were benign. They were just, you know, a little sinus congestion or something, or a headache. I can deal with that as long as my quality of life in the bedroom improves, right? So they're willing that to have that trade-off. But majority of them aren't willing to risk having a deadly form of skin cancer, though.
Well, I think as long as there's an informed consent, I mean, to me anyway, I wonder if it makes sense to even be talking about taking any of these drugs off the market, when really, I mean, the study shows, you know, that really the increase in risk from taking, say, Viagra that was part of this experiment, has a negligible increase in the amount of melanoma cancers that are going to be they're going to result probably from men taking them. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Except for the guys who get it and die,
right?
Yeah. Well, if I understand that taking it comes with a risk.
Yeah.
As does any drug, prescription drugs especially.
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know, I'm certainly not speaking on behalf or, you know, in favor of any of these big pharma companies who probably, you know, do all they can to show, you know, these risks in the smallest print possible you know, on their disclaimers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that, you know.
True.
If doctors who are prescribing it are telling their customers, look, you need to be aware that there's whatever, a 1%, 0.5%, whatever the percent chance is of getting this, you need to be aware of it.
Right.
And,
well,
then let me make the decision. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, doctors are telling patients, you know, obviously slather on the sunscreen and also get any funky moles tested. You know,
but they don't tell you about the alternatives, and I think that's, you know, what
I know. And so there are some hormones.
Point well taken.
Yeah, there are some herbs that really help balance a male hormonal system. So it's plant nutrition to feed the endocrine system so that you can balance out and have the function you really are looking for. And it's, you know, really, really no risk at all. It's called Male Hormone Formula at thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call, 866-229-3663, and get a free catalog. Thanks,
guys. I'll be calling you, Wendy.
Okay.
I don't know what to say after that, Dave. We'll be right back after this short break. Thank you, folks, for joining us today.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com. And we're going to continue. Since we had the pullback, we're back to 550 on the special of a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 Silver Eagles that are dated 2018, brand spanking new, right out of the U.S. Mint tube. So great little special. It includes your shipping costs, 1-800-375-4188. And let's see, they're standing by to take your calls. We also have some great $20 gold pieces. They're still bargains. If I don't bring them on the radio to offer you the price and specials, they're all specials when their premiums are trading at 20-year lows. We also saw there are 2018 Platinum Eagles. They're very difficult to obtain later on in the year. I think there's 100 of those available, so give us a call if you're interested in those. But they do have to be purchased by volume, so 10 or more for the 1 ounce Platinum Eagle coins. Very beautiful coins. Last year there was, 20,000 of them minted for the year. So they don't make a lot of them. So once they're gone, they're usually gone until next year. So, and then you'll just have to buy, you know, some sort of a bar of platinum or so forth. But you're seeing the prices for palladium and platinum beginning to equal out. The spreads are becoming thinner and thinner between the two, as platinum usually trades higher than palladium, and of course platinum usually trades higher than gold. So but one step at a time, and I think we'll begin to see the upward movement for platinum. It will regain its position. So if you have your gold and you have your silver and you want to get rid of some of those fiat dollars that you're holding, convert them to some platinum and add it to your portfolio. So 1-800-375-4188. Well, today it came out, the ADP came out today from Moody's Analytics, and they said that it was a good month in February with companies adding about 235,000 positions. Wall Street was kind of expecting 195,000. And I think I've said this before many, many times. Usually when the ADP number is high, that means government comes out on Friday with lower numbers. So we'll have to see exactly where the numbers are on Friday. I suppose they could beat this 235, but I don't think they will. I think they're going to come in probably around where the economists were expecting them, at around 195,000. So, but job growth did pull back slightly from January. January posted 244,000. February marked the fourth month in a row that the private payrolls hit 200,000 or better. The job market is red hot and threatens to overheat, says Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's. Well, he's always wrong. And you know what? It really amazes me, because this morning they had Wilbur on CNBC. Was it Wilbur that they were interviewing? I think it was Wilbur they were
Wilbur
interviewing.
Wilbur or Peter Navarro.
It was Wilbur.
Those are too likely.
Well, it was somebody important, and they interrupted the interview to let ADP come out with their numbers and so forth, and it was just like the world stops for the ADP numbers. It does give us a few days look into what the government numbers might be. I get that, but they're never right. Very rare. They're probably right 2% of the time. But anyway.
Another opportunity to feed the propaganda machine to the unknowing public.
There you go. So what about leisure and hospitality? How did some of these other groups fare?
Well, the leisure and hospitality-led industry groups with 50,000 jobs reported. Professional and business services contributed 46,000, that is, and trade, transportation, and utilities added another 44,000. However, interestingly, construction rose too by 21,000, and manufacturing added 14,000 new positions. In all, Melody, goods producing industries increased by 37,000, while the all services related businesses added about 198. These gains come at the same time concerns that a tight jobs market could put upward pressure on wages and generate an inflation spike that would force the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates more frequently than the market now anticipates. Melody?
But, you know, I mean, they're going to raise rates anyway. I mean, the Fed meeting is, you know, around the 20th of this month, 2021st, and you know they're going to raise rates. They have no reason not to.
Well, it's true. You know, speaking of the Fed, yesterday, the Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan reiterated the Fed's posture that it needs to hike rates three times this year, to keep the economic expansion going. Kaplan said that rising interest rates now gives the U.S. the best chance to keep pushing the economy forward. It's three for this year, he said. I think we ought to get started sooner rather than later, though.
Yeah, I think they're looking again this month. They'll have one, and a subsequent hike is expected in June. And then we're probably looking at the third one maybe in September. I'm not so sure about that September one, but certainly by June they'll be ready for another one. So if they do one in September, then, you know, there might be a fourth one in December. Who knows? But I'm not sure how all this is going to play out. Again, it's just like some of these numbers, you know, they just don't equal out to what you hear everyone complaining about and talking about. But so anyway, back to the, you know, as far as investors, they fear a more aggressive Fed, you know, action that might have stir up a market that had been showing some low levels of volatility prior to 2018.
Yeah, in Kaplan's view, Melody, consistent hikes are necessary, especially with the unemployment rate at 4.1%, which the Fed considers to be right around full employment. And full employment is the point where nearly everyone's looking for a job. Everyone who's looking for a job has one. Kaplan believes the unemployment rate's going to dip into the threes this year. On the bright side, he said, that means more people will have jobs. On the other side, Kaplan pointed to our history of overshooting full employment and not having a soft landing afterward. That's the reason he wants to keep raising the Fed funds rate, which he thinks will give us the best chance to extend this expansion a little longer.
Well, you know, they have said that the reason they even began raising rates is because if we head into a recession or a crisis of some sort, then they'll be able to lower the rates. So they had to get them higher in order for them to lower them. And I'm thinking, well, that should instill a lot of confidence in the markets.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you tell the markets you're going to bail them out, of course, you know, they're going to ignore the whole idea behind those thoughts. But with the new Fed chair, there's a lot of commentary saying that the reason he was appointed and actually means that a crisis is near. And it's because of Jerome Powell's experience prior to joining the Fed. Jerome Powell is the first Fed chair since Alan Greenspan with any kind of banking experience, even if it wasn't investment banking. Janet Yellen, the former Fed chair, and Bernanke were both career academics. To say that Jerome Powell is strictly a private sector banker, excuse me, folks, would be to overlook the most critical role of his career, namely that he was head of oversight for the Fed's quote-unquote too-big-to-fail banks. So he did emphasize in a speech a couple of years ago that the Fed no longer had the authority to directly bail out a failing bank. You know, with the Dodd-Frank, that eliminated the authority that was used by the Federal Reserve and some other regulators to bail out the individual institutions during the 2008 crisis. And everyone knows the names of Bear Stearns, Citicorp, Bank of America, and AIG.
Yes, yes, the big hiss.
Yes.
To those that nearly brought us down. But on the other hand, did give rise to a great period for gold and silver, right?
Absolutely. And if the Powell Fed is not in the bailout business anymore, who is? And again, it's the bank shareholders, bondholders. And guess who developed, Dave, the plan that this would happen through?
One Jerome Powell, folks.
You know,
Powell.
Yeah, it's going to be a powwow, all right.
Yeah, Powell was a central figure in the development of the Fed's new bail-in strategy, as they're calling it, and was intimately involved in simulations of another large bank failure as far back as 2011. Powell also helped create important strategies in Dodd-Frank, namely that banks develop living wills, so to speak, in the event of future material financial distress or failure of one of the big banks. And that bail-in program that's been developed, whereby the FDIC would seize a failing bank and wipe out all of its shareholders' capital, as well as much of bondholders, in order to prop the bank up. Put simply, Melody, according to current proposals, the next time a major financial firm gets into trouble, the Fed won't come running with a bailout this time. Instead, the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, will seize the bank and then use the capital from shareholders and bondholders to prop it up before they break it apart into separate entities. And the Trump administration, under the influence of Secretary Steve Mnuchin, chose the man who helped develop these strategies and who's a large proponent of deregulation of the financial system that was put in place after the financial crisis of 2008. Ergo, Jerome Powell is now the Fed chair. Steve Mnuchin, who advised the president on the Fed chair search, pushed hard for Powell, having held discussions with him this year and drawing up recommendations to deregulate the financial system, which they both believe are no longer necessary to the extent they were put into place by Dodd-Frank. Now, call me a skeptic or call me naive. Either way, one's left to wonder, was Powell appointed because a financial crisis looms in our near future? Well, why else would the guy who literally wrote the book on how to deal with future systemic failures in the U.S. banking system be appointed over an incredibly popular incumbent chair who had another term coming to her? What do you know about that, Melody?
You know, it's just another sign that a financial crisis is coming. And you know what? With Gary Cohn leaving, resigning, they all blame the tariffs. He didn't agree with the tariffs and so forth. But maybe he didn't agree with the appointment of Jerome Powell.
Indeed.
Because he was one that was in the running. He was one that people thought would perhaps have the opportunity to be in that position at the Fed. He is a Goldman Sachs. He certainly is not going to like the Goldman Sachs being hit and the shareholders picking up the tab on some of this. But really, the ones that really do pick up the tabs on all this are the taxpayers. The people out there who work every day, who work hard every day, they try to take care of their families, and this is all a game to everybody else. This is all a game, and they will protect their own. They will write laws to protect their own, and when it comes to hit the plant, and when it comes to hit the fan, folks, you got to be out there on your own. You your own team. You and your family, and you have to take care of yourself. And I know everybody thinks, oh, we've heard this story before, but, you know, how can you not put these pieces together? I mean, the puzzle is almost completed. And I do believe there are some major, and yes, we look at the jobs report. It's all part of the illusion that they use, the jobs report, the wages, low inflation. You know, it just doesn't all add up. You've had pressure on housing. You have pressure on auto purchases. You have debt defaults on your auto loans. People are leasing because they don't have the money to put down to buy a car. They have to lease it. There's all kinds of signs that have just been covering up what the so-called great economy is. And I think Jerome Powell, due to his history, and it's just not here in the States. Everybody talks about the crisis that's coming from China. You know, they have $1 trillion in bad debts just waiting to explode. They're all over the Chinese economy. When I spoke to James Corbett, we talked about a lot of that debt, though, had gone into infrastructure. So they're in a little bit of a different place than we are. Our money, our debt went into Wall Street. It went into bail companies out. It didn't go to building our infrastructure where people went to work and got jobs and could possibly have wages increase. But still, it's debt, and they have bad debts just waiting to explode. I guess it doesn't matter what the money went into, but they might have a little bit of a softer landing than us. Some of that are incurred by the Chinese authorities trying to get around spending limitations that have been imposed by Beijing. Some are straight commercial loans on bank balance sheets. Some are external dollar-denominated debts that are owned to foreign creditors. And the most dangerous type of debt involves a pyramid of insolvent corporations buying debt from each other. I mean, you know, when I read this, I think to myself, or when I talk about this, I think to myself, you'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to understand that a crisis is not coming. A single cash advance of $100 million can be passed from corporation to corporation in exchange for a new promissory note used to extinguish an old unpayable promissory note. And if you repeat it enough times, the $100 million can be used as window dressing to prop up $1 billion or even $2 billion of bad debts. These are all accounting tricks, ladies and gentlemen, that would land, well, I don't know if it would land you in jail anymore, but it would at least give you a fine. But it's an accepted practice in China. As long as the corporate CEO is politically connected to the Communist Party, who comes from the old guard or is oligarch willing to pay bribes. And the state of affairs have existed for years, Dave. How long can it go on? How can this chain keep operating to gloss over a sea of bad debt that gives this Chinese economy an appearance of good health? Maybe they learned it from the United States.
Well, I'll tell you what, the answer is that the Ponzi scheme is not likely going to last much longer. I mean, even compliant Chinese regulators are starting to blow the whistle on bad loans and banks that cover them up. The good news is that China's starting to address the problem. The bad news is that if China gets serious about cleaning up bad debts, their growth will slow significantly, and so will the world's.
Bad for global stocks, bad for United States. We're heading to a break. I think we're already there. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be returning shortly.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. We'll be right back.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back to Financial Survival. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. And your special today is a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 21-ounce American Silver Eagles, and those are 2018s, so they're brand new Silver Eagles. It includes your shipping cost, $550. It's a great deal. It's a common special that I have here. But with the prices of gold and silver and the pressure, any precious metal is a great buy at this time. So give us a call and let us help you. If you have plenty of Silver Eagles and you have plenty of 1/10 ounce Gold Eagles, we have a lot of items that we can help you with your purchase. 800-375-4188. Going into the break, we were talking about the coming debt crisis in China and how it's going to affect the global markets. And of course, with that, it would also affect gold and silver. And it looks like China's on the edge of a big problem with a no good way out. China has driven growth for the past 8 years with its excessive credit. And, you know, it's just not China. It's every other world government that has stimulated their economies with debt. And they used excessive credit. China has used it, wasted infrastructure investment, Ponzi schemes. And Beijing's leadership knows this. They had to keep the growth machine high to keep the people high, not to keep the people high, but to keep them employed. They had to create jobs. And if the people want to be high too, I guess they could find things. Mm. They need to call Wendy Wilson. Yeah. But so they had to keep everything in high gear to create jobs for millions of migrants that come to the city from the countryside, and because they can't be left out. But they all know a day of reckoning is coming, and their choices are limited, Dave.
They are. They really are, Melody. I mean, two ways to get rid of debt generally are deflation, which results in write-offs, bankruptcies, and unemployment, or inflation, which results in a drop in people's purchasing power, similar to a tax increase. And both of these alternatives are unacceptable to the Chinese leadership because they lack the political legitimacy. That is, the leadership lacks the political legitimacy to endure either unemployment or inflation. I mean, either policy would cause social unrest and even unleash potentially revolutionary activities. The Tiananmen Square protests and massacres of almost 30 years ago didn't start out as a freedom movement, although that's how they're remembered in the West today. No, they started out as an anti-inflation protest. And that's how President Xi Jinping and his peers remember it, for sure. So instead of these unpalatable extremes, the Chinese leadership's trying to steer a middle course with gradual financial reform and gradual limits on shadow banking. But it's doubtful this gradual policy is going to work because the credit situation is so extreme there that even modest reform is going to slow the economy too fast for comfort. And that's exactly what's been happening.
And they may have no choice but to resort to a combination of a debt cleanup and a major devaluation of their currency to share the resulting deflation with the rest of the world. And when that happens, possibly soon, especially in response to a possible new trade war, the effects are not going to be confined to China. China will be the main domino. And the shock coming from China significantly devaluating its fiat yuan will be felt around the world. just like what we saw in 2015. But everybody forgets how quickly. It seems like 2015 was so long ago. But you had the U.S. stocks, they fell very quickly, over 10%. And it's so much different today than it was in 2015. Trade and currency wars are far from over. Get ready for more volatility and downswings in the stocks and bond markets.
Melody?
Yes?
That was a very interesting informative segment. I enjoyed listening to that and learning from that as much as telling listeners about it. But you know what? It's time for our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden.
You know, before you go any further, I want to say something.
Please.
I want to remind the listeners that if you'd like us to touch on a topic for this small segment that we have, that they're bringing, it's something new that we've been bringing. Dave brought it, and I think it's a great idea. We look at things a little bit different. You can email me, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. Send us your idea. If you want to drop me a note, it's P.O. Box 276, Berlin, Maryland, 21811. That's P.O. Box 276, Berlin, Maryland, 21811. So we'd like to have you participate in various sections of the program. So this is one way that you can do so. So I appreciate it. Dave's appreciates it. And the rest of the listeners would appreciate it also.
Please, we'd love to have your ideas. Now, I'm not sure how many listeners have seen the new blockbuster.
Yeah, I know.
Critically acclaimed movie Black Panther. In it, King T'Chaka is one of the main characters, says to his son T'Challa, "A man who has not prepared his children for his death has failed as a father." And while somewhat patriarchal, I'm sure the same would apply to the Queen saying the same thing to her son and daughter as well. But listeners, preparing the next generation for leadership includes guidance on managing resources and wealth, something we like to talk about here every now and then, more now than then, Financial Survival Show. The state of affairs for the Wakandan royal family reflects the same situation for most of our households, that is, the desire to build, protect, and distribute our financial assets. Well, here are the Wakandan secrets of multi-generational wealth. There are four of them. Number one, don't wait until death to teach and model wealth principles, such as have the conversations early with your children about the responsibilities, sacrifices, and investments you made to support the family and build a legacy, and help them understand how to run a household and to manage credit, budget, savings, and investing. Number two, state wealth vision and wealth distribution principles to your beneficiaries, whomever they are, your spouse, your child, a brother, sister, whomever. Write down your wishes and share it with them. And make sure that you get help drafting a will or a trust if you don't have one. And name and update beneficiaries for all of your investments and life insurance policies, particularly if you don't have a will. Number three, costly omissions can surface beyond the grave. So avoid your children yelling at you over your gravesite by fessing up any financial secrets you have before you die. Set free those to whom you've given these secrets and also the other implicated parties. Most importantly, don't make it crazy here on earth when you can create conditions for inspiring heaven. And number four, recognize that wealth in the hands of your beneficiaries becomes subjective. So use estate planning tools like trusts for structuring multi-generational wealth opportunities. And then obviously hope for the best, because you'll be gone someday and we'll have no further input into how what you've built will be used. Listeners, now that you have the secret formula for multi-generational wealth, be sure to pay tribute to Wakanda forever. And that, Melody, is today's Brevity is Golden.
That's great. There's a lot of good tips in there, and we've kind of You know, people just get so busy. We live in a busy world today, and we don't sit down and make these plans until it's too late. And gold and silver is a great way, particularly gold, is a great way to distribute your wealth. It's a very private way to distribute your wealth. I can't sell gold based on that. I'm not allowed to. I'm not a financial planner, but I can, if you understand how gold works and the loopholes that are involved in gold, it is, I can't imagine why people would win any paper, to the end time. So give us a call, folks, at 1-800-375-4188. You know, also, there's a lot of discussions, with the tariffs in particular, with China. We're all these countries, these fiat currency countries, all manipulate their currencies. We're no different. And we need a weaker dollar in order to, I believe, to support the tariffs. I mean, that's one of the things that's going to come out of this is a weaker dollar for the tariffs. And I haven't really seen anyone put those two things together. So I think we're going to see a higher price in gold in relationship to the U.S. dollar. If the current declines in the dollar continue, gold prices could rally significantly. Be happy. Yes, the dollar is lower, but if you have gold and silver, that should make you very happy.
Mm-hmm.
The dollar is declining. We don't pay attention to all the daily ups and downs. A lot of that has to do with a lot of noise more than anything. I give the markets numbers to project more of a trend. And the U.S. index, dollar index, has been in a downward trend since 2016, in December. It stood at 104. It was just under 90 earlier today, and that's a decline of about 14%. At the same time, gold has been trending upward. December 2016, the price stood at 1124 an ounce. Earlier this afternoon, it was 1326, and that's an increase of 18%. From a fundamental perspective, the U.S. dollar is going to drop further, so expect gold prices to increase a lot. The U.S. government is still spending. The fiscal year 2018 budget deficit is expected to hit $1 trillion, and budget deficits and increasing debt levels are bad for the dollar. Trade wars aren't good for the dollar either. The U.S. dollar looks weak, and it could get much weaker given what's happening these days. The correlation between gold prices and the U.S. dollar is 0.93, and that is awfully close to having an almost perfectly negative inverse relationship. And what this means is that when the dollar falls, gold prices go higher. And if the dollar index breaks below 80, gold prices will almost certainly soar. And in the meantime, as the dollar continues its downward trend, gold investors should be buying sooner than later.
For sure. As Melody said, call us at 1-800-375-4188. The team's standing by to help you in any way that we can. And you know what, Melody? If you're not so sure about gold, for whatever reason, you have a lot of it, you're looking to diversify. Mike Maloney has revealed he recently made a large purchase of silver because of how undervalued it is. And he bought silver because of how high the gold-silver ratio is. So if you want to buy silver while it's still undervalued, history says you only have about 27 more days to do so. Now, as many of you know, the gold-silver ratio, which is the price of gold divided by the price of silver, has touched 80 a couple of times over the past 25 years, but it's never stayed there too long. History shows that a ratio of 80 is the level at which silver is grossly undervalued compared to gold. Eventually, the ratio falls to account for the large discrepancy between their prices. Over the last 20 years, the price of silver has soared when the gold-silver ratio dropped below 80. In the mid-1990s, when gold dropped an average of 24%, silver rose 36%. In the mid-2000s, when gold rose 69%, silver rose 182%. And after the Great Recession 10 years ago, when gold went up 105%, silver went up a whopping 407%. you can see silver outperforms gold when the ratio falls below 80. Now, again, that's not saying don't buy gold. It's just saying as a way to enhance the gold assets you already own, now's a good time to be seriously considering buying silver. Melody?
It is a good time, and we've had a lot of pressure on the price in silver. I'm a firm believer in the fundamentals of each. And when you have, and people do need, it's kind of like what Wendy was talking about. You know, you need to know the fine print. And we saw those big rises in silver, but with those big rises comes big losses. It's very volatile. Any investment that can give larger gains is going to have much more volatility. And I think when you're looking to preserve your purchasing power, you need to be positioned properly in order to absorb the volatility, and that's what you use your gold for. Usually my recommendations are 80%, and again, this is my opinion, 80% gold, 20% silver. But I have clients that are 100% silver. I have clients that are 50-50. It's up to the investor's objective also on the percentage that they break up and the reasons that they're purchasing for gold and silver. So there really goes a lot into it. And I think the ratio can be a bonus as far as giving you an idea that this isn't the last leg for silver. This is to show you that, you know, silver prices are going to go higher. This is to show you that regardless of the pressure that they put on gold and silver, the only outcome is higher. And the gold and silver ratio has never remained above 80 for very long, has it, Dave? And we're out of time.
It hasn't. You have 27 days, calendar days left to buy before the ratio drops and prices rise.
800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you being here. And thank you, listeners. Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 800-275-4188. I'll be returning tomorrow with Pastor Butch Ball. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. If I got me a wealthy man.